Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to another amazing episode of the Unstoppable Leadership Spotlight podcast, where we hear from amazing leaders and their game-changing insights. As you know, if we can have great leaders in the world, we can change the world. So I'd like to welcome to the show Glenn Akromoff, and let me tell you a little bit about him. So Glenn is the founder and CEO of Akromoff LLC. His expertise is rehabilitating and revitalizing municipal government workplaces and has developed a program that will improve any organization by returning humanity to the center of focus. So key. And he is the author of The Human-Centered Team. So important information and so welcome to the show. Love talking about this great leadership. Oh, so important.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
So good to have you. So Glenn, tell me. All right. So I got a lot of questions to ask, but I'm going to start with a big one. The human-centered team. In a nutshell, describe it.
The human-centered team's about building teams and around the human beings that are there. I think one of the things we make mistakes on is trying to build it in some box, and we in human be as human beings are not can't be put in the box.
Right.
The other part of it is about, particularly about the workplace, is we've spent the last 25 to 30 years trying to get the emotion out of a workplace. Only we're human beings, and you can't take the emotion out of us. So it's about letting, you know, the secret to the whole thing is encouraging people to be who they are. And of course we have rules around everything, but be who you are. You're allowed to be emotional. You're allowed to be happy. You're allowed to be sad. You're allowed to be upset. And then working through as a leader, noticing these things, reacting to them, and being curious about what the answer is and why these emotions are coming.
You know, it's so important in today's workplace. And like, there are some things that are floating through my brain about, you know, we talk a lot about emotional intelligence and, but I also, the crux of this, you know, is knowing your employees, or knowing your team members. I hate the word employees, but knowing your team members well enough to recognize the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Absolutely. I think it starts with I teach leaders, you don't have to like your people every day, but you have to love them. And it's okay to do that. Actually, I think it's mandatory in my book. That's kind of what I believe. But and if you do, then you don't have a problem paying attention to them. You don't have a problem going, wow, she's upset today. Wow, he seems really happy. I want to find out what that's about so I can make sure that that we have something to do with it. I think the key to that too is understanding as a leader that you don't just impact that person or that team member or the entire team. You impact everyone they impact. And that's a little heavy sometimes, but it's also a great responsibility.
Yeah, no, it's so true. It's like the impact that we can make on somebody is so crucial, but we have to get to know them and know and be able to read people. So, do you work with both companies and municipalities?
I do.
Yep.
So I'm kind of curious here. So municipalities versus companies, where do you see the leadership difference?
I don't. There isn't a ton. Really, it's just about what you're focused on. So municipalities are focused on service and not worried about a profit margin. Businesses are a lot of times focused on service, but they have a profit margin. I think the difference comes for a leader is in how you manifest a vision and how you create that is really where the difference is. It's actually easier as a leader to create a inspiring vision in a municipality because you're impacting a specific community every time you every action you take. In this in business, it's not always that clear. So that's a challenge for a business leader that a municipal leader doesn't face. The other thing is that when you have a great employee in the business, you get to take care of them financially and bonuses and trips and all kinds of things, and that's not legal in government. So you
Wink,
have to
wink.
so you have to be innovative in
Right.
how you go about doing that. And it goes back again to understanding who your people are, because sometimes a lot of times you'll hear people say, well, if your punishment for being a great employee is getting more assignments.
Yeah.
Well, some people like that, right?
Right.
Some people want more action, some don't. So it's understanding who they are. But I think those are really the nuances between the two that I've found. Most everything else stays fairly consistent.
But it's really key there too, like that how we recognize and give recognition and reward people is very, very it's obviously going to be different between obviously a municipality and a company, but at the end of the day, what really matters is how are you, Glenn, for example, how do you like to be recognized and take recognition, right? So you might like, the Benjamins, or you actually might prefer the plaque on the wall, as long as it's
Right.
a nice plaque, not one that just, you got at Hobby Lobby.
That's
And
right.
I say that because I'm speaking from experience on something that I was gifted for it. Anyway, so when you're thinking that, so you mentioned something, obviously most companies are of service, but municipalities don't necessarily have a true profit. They're not focused on the profit margin. They might hopefully be focused on saving ish,
Right.
maybe, or what they could do better, what or stretch the money out. So, other than the fact that obviously one is, it's profit is in there, and that they have the ability to buy a gift or buy a trip. How else do you, is there another difference that you see on what profit can do under leadership?
Yeah, I think there's a not so good side to that, and a good side to that. So let's start with the negative side.
Okay.
A lot of times, a company is formed for a purpose, to serve you almost always, to serve in some way. And the founder or founders, that's why they want to do it. And yes, they're going to make money, and that's an important part of it, so they can do more. But as you get bigger and bigger and bigger, you get farther and farther away from that purpose, and then money becomes the driver. Keeping, and I've learned this in my own business, right? As you lose, you're like, oh, I got to pay the bills, I got to do this, that, and the other thing, and you start focusing on the money and not the purpose. And so that it can be your purpose can be corrupted really fast, and then it becomes about the money or about the process that we use to serve, and we get caught up in that and get away from serving. The positive side is that, and I started to mention it there, is that you can expand your service level and your impact level much greater than a municipality can, even on the state level. I mean, even the federal level, they don't have the daily, at the federal and state level, they don't have the daily impact on people, despite what the news tells you. They don't. The locals do,
Right.
just to some extent. So if you go to your city, you're going to go to their park. They're impacting you. You're driving on their streets day to day. All of those things impact you directly, but that's their limits. And when you get to a business, you can, and you look at a lot of the big, super successful businesses, their impact. Amazon's a great example. They impact everybody's life every day now. And they got to do that because they created a way to do it And they keep expanding and have a lot of financial resources to continue.
Right. And it's so okay, so something that I think is really important, and listeners, I want you to really take hold of this because I think it's really key. You know, it's you're knowing your purpose, right? And trying to stay true to that. So with that too, because it's so important, you know, we do start companies to serve others, or there's some reason, you know, we see a problem somewhere and we're like, ooh, I can fix it, or I can, my widget's going to make something better, right? Solve a problem. So what is your you know, game-changing way for people to actually stay true to that purpose and not let money become the driver? Like, how do we keep the purpose going? And the we know, because we all know, at least in my brain, we all know that the more we focus on the service and that part, the money comes.
It does. It absolutely does. And it you can restrict the flow by focusing on the money rather than the and I've experienced that personally. So I think the key thing is that you have a purpose to be on the planet. And as you move through life, you start to evolve and figure out what it is. And part of that process is writing it down and creating goals around it. So that's kind of, that's where you start in a business. You have a business plan. In a government, you have a strategic plan, and they're kind of that purpose written down. But as an individual, you have to, and as a leader, you have to instill the purpose of the company or the purpose of the organization in the people. So I talk to leaders about create an inspiring vision and give it away. And by that, I mean you have to stop taking full possession of it, let other people own it, create it, morph it in to things, and then make it their own. And when they do, then they, your employees and your team will guide you. So that's happened to me in the 5 years I've been in business here twice, where I started to focus and worry about money because cash flow and all that other fun stuff you got to deal with. And my team, because they understand the vision has become theirs, not just mine, it's ours. And they corrected me. Now you have to be willing to listen to them, and I am, of course, but that's one big way. The other way is to understand that you're evolving as a human being and you're growing, and your purpose is going to look different throughout your life. And so will it for your company or your organization. So every once in a while, and I think as human beings, we generally go through this probably every 5 to 8 years, depending, it's time for a reset. And it's not tear everything down and throw it out. It's just taking some time, some thoughtful time. And we as leaders today aren't good at that because everything's moving so fast. But taking some time, thinking about what's really important, how things have changed and evolved, and where you really want to continue to serve and where you don't. And that both of those two things can guide you to a new inspired vision. It can guide you to another product, another service, but it gets you away from focusing on the money and the nuts and bolts of the company and focusing on who you are and why you started it in the first place.
You know, it's so important, and you know, there's a couple of things that as you were talking, and it's so true. Like, you know, being, you know, knowing your mission and helping it evolve, like, and knowing that, you know, letting people also own it, and that key part again, you know, listeners, you know, this is a key thing to really hone in on, because you need to be willing to listen. You know, and you need to be able to listen to the people that are in your fold, on Your, and I say this a lot, employees aren't employees, they're your team members, they're your partners, and they can know your business really well. So really, we all are evolving. A mission statement or your vision, it's always evolving. It's not, and I always say, it's not something that you just put up on the wall
Right.
and read it. It's not something, it needs to be actually in one of those movable, parts or on a digital board so you can constantly evolve and update it, right?
Right. Absolutely. I think to the key to that, to what you're talking about is not just listening to hear, but listening to feel. In that you're when you're listening to your team and you're starting to feel what they feel, and it's more than empathy, and they will do the same for you. And to your point, your team can know your business really well. In many ways, they can know it better than you, or parts of it better than you. And you, as a leader, need to be okay with that. I teach a lot of new and young leaders that. As a leader, you don't need to know everything. You just need to know who knows it. That's what leaders do. And that's how you build a really world-class team, is you're doing what you're good at, they're doing what they're good at, and your positions don't, your title doesn't matter in the delivery of the service and the delivery of the mission.
Okay, so that's a it's a really key, astute observation, and something to really be able to recognize too, is that we don't need to know everything. And leaders, I always think back to Dale Carnegie. Dale Carnegie always said, hire people that are smarter than you so that that you'll help them rise up and they'll help you rise up. And if you hire people, if you bring people into your fold, you again, it's where to go to get that information. So what do you think stops you? And I know I have an idea in my brain because, coaching people, but what do you think stops people from being able to ask others, having being a leader to ask other leaders, maybe in their company, like, hey, I don't know this, but, can you help me?
I think there's two major factors. One is ego. I need to know it, and I do know it, and I'm great, and or I should be great. And then the other one is fear. What are people going to think if I don't know this, or am I good enough to walk this road and all of that? And there's both of those things have real, in many companies, you don't, especially the unhealthy, toxic ones, you do not want to show weakness because it'll be a feeding frenzy. And I think that's where the fear comes from. And as a leader, you just got to bite your lip and figure it out. Even though you might have, a team of 10 people and four of them know, have the answer already, and you're hindering that flow. But that's probably the biggest thing I find going into toxic workplaces, is that fear runs rampant, and ego is part of protecting us from fear and from those repercussions. And so those two work hand in hand to restrict you from free flowing as a leader.
How do you work with a leader to, let's say, who is that person who has that fear and the ego and they don't want to, like, I need to be didn't know it all. How do you work with that leader to let them understand that they need to empower their team in order to actually rise up? You don't need to know it all. If you empower your team, they're not going to think less of you. They're going to think more of you.
Absolutely, they are. So that's where you start, is that as leaders, and to me, good to excellent to great leaders all have service in mind. Poor leaders don't, but but most of the people want to be a good leader. I believe that. They may not have been taught all the right skills. So that's the first thing, is to point out what's in it for them. When you wake up on Sunday night worried about the week, or you can't sleep all Sunday night and you go into the week exhausted already because you're worried about this, that, and the other thing, that can go away. Because you have someone there that can do this. And it doesn't have to all be on you. So you start identifying those things, which, by the way, is that rolls through the organization too, is that you should, as a leader, you should let everybody know what's in it for them, because they need to know. And sometimes we think that's not important. It is one of the keys to motivating people.
And what's in it for them is very different for each person, too. And that's the other thing.
It's very personal. It's a very personal thing. So I think that's part of it, as I work with the leaders, getting to know them really well about what motivates them, what gets them. So for me, as a leader, as I was evolving as a leader, I like new challenging things and projects, and I liked high profile, but more importantly, it was just taking on and learning new things, especially when I was a young leader. And so that's what I wanted. So if as my leader, the ones who got to know me best and I thrived under, they got to know, oh, I got another assignment. He works hard to figure out and learn new stuff. I don't have to teach him everything. All I have to do is give him another assignment. And I don't have to do it, right? And so that's part of that leadership piece, is that you start to learn, I don't need to do everything. And it's also really clarifying their role as a leader. There's a number of things that you're responsible for. And I have a long list, but they're for this I'll talk about two. One is your role is to protect the team. You can't protect the team if you're doing. And then the second big role is to be the advocate for the customer with the team, and for the team with everyone else. Those are your, so it's kind of two parts to that one. So you have those three main roles that you have to have time to do. They're very time consuming and very, very much, lots of conversations, lots of interaction. If you're doing as a leader and you're leading the entire team and you're doing their work, then you're not serving your fulfilling your role, and the team's going to suffer. And so you've really got to, and so when you point that out to a leader who hasn't had that, they get it, right? Because they want to do that. That's one of the reasons they became leader. And so they're like, okay. So then we start working on the nuts and bolts of, okay, how do you get out of this? And we talk about, okay, what's the skill sets of your team? What do you have? You can fill the gaps as the leader, but what do you have? And then oh, I can hand this to this person and this to this person. And these two together actually would do great on this. And then you practice by giving away that stuff so you can do what you're doing.
And I think that's I there's one thing that I think is so important to also recognize. It is so true. You don't want to necessarily be in the trenches doing the work because you do need to be the person up here that's kind of being the, you're the conductor, right? You're orchestrating and you're getting all the moving parts together. Yet at the same time, if there is a deadline or a whatever, you're in there with the team. Like, so there's that slight, like, I'm also right here with you.
Yes, I think that's incredibly important. As I've my career, I came up through the ranks, and so I've done most of the job. So it really helps me get street credibility when I go into a work unit to help them. And I think that's something that I talk about, is don't go in when it's all hands on deck to meet that deadline. Don't go in and do stuff that you're lousy at, because you'll mess it up. Go in with your strengths and and fulfill that strength role, short time and then get out.
Right.
And let your team ask you for it. Don't just jump on it and say, I'm going to do this. Let your team say, you know, we need help to do the deadline. And then you can say as the leader, okay, here are the three things I'm really good at in this project. I think I should do that. What do you, you know, do you agree? They're going to know your skills too. They're going to go, yes, please go do that. And then the team succeeds. And then the secret is to pull back out, not stay there, because that's not your role. You pull right back out when the crisis is over, and let everything evolve and return back to the normal flow.
Right. And I think what the biggest insight that I hear, and I think it's so important, the key thing is communication. And I talk a lot about when I'm coaching is there's leveraging communication. And I think that is one of the biggest things what you're sharing. Again, this is a huge insight, you know, listeners. It's all about how you as a leader communicate with your team, whether it's, you know, in the day-to-day and in crisis mode.
And they're different.
And they're different, right? They're different, but it's all about communication, and not to also like not barking at people, but being somebody who's participating and you're not barking orders, but you're part of the team.
Yeah. As a leader, you are part of the team. You just have a different role.
Yeah.
And you should speak that as often as you can, so that you internalize it, but also so your team understands that you'd get it, that you're not above them, you're not below them, you are all equal. You just have different roles to play based on your skill sets and all of that. And so I think that's important. I talk a lot about creating a communication culture. If you don't create that, it creates itself. So being conscious as a leader about what that is, you know, there's lots of different ways to do it, but I've seen teams who, if you walked into them, you would, and you listened to them communicate and you didn't have all the context, you would think they're toxic, but they're not. That's the way they've chosen to create their communication culture, and they enjoy it. And they, you know, they can be sarcastic and they can pick at each other, but it's not in malice, and they do it in a healthy way. And then you have others where it's very strict. It's very precise. No way is wrong. It's what's wrong for you, or what's right for your team and for your organization. And that's part of that vision. You create a communication culture, you give it away so that everyone's participating. And then your personal health will do better, but also the health of your organization.
The health of the organization. Yeah. You know, Glenn, I could talk to you for hours about this. I think this is like truly, truly fascinating. And I'm assuming a lot of this can be found in your book, The Human Centered Team, and
yep,
how you operate.
A lot of it. Yep. Yep. Absolutely.
And is The Human Centered Team available on Amazon?
It's on Amazon. It has its own website called humancenteredteam.com as well.
Okay. And is that a place that humancenteredteam.com? Is that also a place where people can connect with you as well?
Yes. And I have a website, akromoff.com, that you can take a look at some of the stuff we're doing. We put a lot of stuff out there. If you can use it, I'm happy that you're using it. You don't have to come to me. But if I can help, that's what we're looking to do. The thing we've been focused on now is, and it might be another book, we'll see. It's called Model Leadership. And really that's what all of my program is based on, is that I as the leader model what behavior that I expect. And that includes saying when I make a mistake, being truly accountable, and those sort of things. So that's part of the human centered team, I believe, for sure, is that as a leader, you need to model what you're looking for, you know, not do as I say, but do as I do. But you can find all of those. Definitely check out the website, and love to hear from anybody who reads the book about what they think.
Well, fantastic. So, okay, so listeners, get the book and connect with Glenn, because I'm also thinking if you're a parent, oh, that's a parenting book too.
Hey, that's my son in particular is the one who helped me develop this, because he was not easy as a child.
Yeah, so there you go. So, and that's and that's a key thing too, is how we show up as in our day-to-day, whether we're at home or at a company, you know, we should be operating from a place of our true values. And so they do need to mesh. Obviously, the places are different, but the skill set is the same.
Absolutely.
So thank you so much, Glenn, for being an amazing guest. Listeners, please again connect with Glenn. I will share the websites that he has and a link to the book in the show notes. But if you've gotten some great insight from this podcast, which I'm sure you have, please do me the favor of clicking the subscribe button and then also doing me even one better, which is sharing it with your friends and business colleagues. Because again, if we can make better leaders, we can make a better world. I'm Jacqueline Strominger, the host of the Unstoppable Leadership Spotlight podcast. And again, thank you, Glenn, for being an amazing guest. And thank you, listeners, for listening in. Jacqueline Strominger, and I want to thank you so much for listening to the Unstoppable Leadership Spotlight, Influential Leaders and Their Game-Changing Insights podcast. If you are a successful CEO, entrepreneur, or leader in your industry, and you have insights you would like to share, we want you to be a guest on this program. So please visit go.leaptoyoursuccess.com/podcast. And if you have gotten something out of this interview and you'd like to share the episode on social media, just go ahead and take a screenshot with your phone and text it to a friend or post it on socials. If you know somebody who would be a great guest, please tag them on social media and let them know about the show and include the hashtag Unstoppable Leadership Spotlight. I'd love seeing your posts and your guest suggestions. So we regularly are putting out new episodes and content. So please make sure you don't miss any episodes and go ahead and hit subscribe. Your thumbs up, ratings, and reviews go a long way to help promote the show, and they mean so much to me and my team. You want to know more about the podcast or about Leap to Your Success? Just go to the website, leaptoyoursuccess.com, or follow me, Jacqueline Strominger, on LinkedIn, Facebook, and Instagram. Just plug in my name, Jacqueline, that's J-A-C-L-Y-N dot Strominger, S-T-R-O-M-I-N-G-E-R, and follow me on all the socials. So thank you so much for listening, and remember, be unstoppable.